Michelle Mortensen Show, Joy Behar outs herself as a white privileged racist, as does most of the staff at MSNBC. Meanwhile, a Twitter twit tries to destroy a hotel employee's life, and then when he gets called out for it, what does he do? Oh yeah, he just calls everyone a racist. So typical and so sad. Plus, Rose McGowan tells Democrats they're in a cult. Guess what? The cult members got super mad about it. Oh, and Jeff Harmon, he's back with more astrological and political predictions. This is the Michelle Mortensen Show, the best hour of your day for politics and pop culture. Time to get real. And it's Friday. This is the Michelle Mortensen Show, the very best hour of your day, at least when it comes to the topics of politics, pop culture, and, well, a little bit of news. And just like every single Friday, we have so much to go over today. I know a lot of you are excited because Jeff Harmon is back with us. He's going to be back with us really at the bottom of the hour. Going to hear all of his predictions for the summer, what's going on in politics. Should be a lot of fun. But right now, let's just talk about what the heck is happening, because it truly is insane what's happening in the world right now. Now, unless you live in a cave, you probably know that President Biden addressed a joint session of Congress this week. Senator Tim Scott gave a rebuttal to his comments. And let me tell you, it's just been a hot mess express ever since. In case you don't, you're not all up to speed on that, though, in what you need to know right now on Thursday. I kind of went over all of it. We're going to watch a little bit of that for a quick review. So let's get caught up to speed. Let's watch. Biden addressed a joint session of Congress last night. Now, it didn't look like most joint sessions. Only about 200 people were there. Everyone was socially distanced and they were all wearing masks, even though they were all vaccinated, which basically told Americans one thing. This whole mask wearing, COVID doubting fear thing is just a partisan power play, and the left loves it. And they are never letting this one go. I mean, Biden really made that quite clear last night. He talked about jobs 40 plus times, vaccines 14 times. He praised all of his COVID relief that didn't really go to COVID. And he tried to couch it all as, we're strong, we're overcomers, but stay covered, don't show your face, and live in fear. It's actually the same message men in Iran preach to women to keep them oppressed. And well, we all know how much people like Joe Biden and John Kerry love Iran.
They love it.
Biden also said, let's make America great again, over and over. But instead, he couched it as build back better and let's raise taxes. So it all fit under the socialist umbrella that Bernie and the squad love so much. And of course, the media just loved this speech. My favorite commentary was from Andrea Mitchell, who basically said the speech was great because it mentioned white supremacy.
I thought it was a remarkable speech, again, also because as he did in his inaugural, he spoke about white supremacy being the real threat, the worst terror threat to America.
What's so funny about little Andrea's comment there is that the mainstream media is actually super racist and white supremacist-like. Don't believe me? Well, they all attacked Senator Tim Scott for speaking just because he was black. I'll prove it.
I am shocked and a bit embarrassed for him. This was a lost opportunity. Tim Scott has an opportunity to make his mark on criminal justice reform, and this ain't gonna do it. This wasn't it.
Now, the Twitter twits heard the attacks on Scott and doubled down on their white supremacist racism, and they started calling him hashtag Uncle Tim, which is a racist slur, if you didn't know. And Twitter not only allowed it to trend, but actually manipulated it so it would trend for 11 hours. Even though attacks on a person's race is allegedly against their standards. but only for Democrats. So now you may be asking, what on earth could have Senator Tim Scott said that would warrant such a racist and bigoted response from millions of Americans and, well, the mainstream media? Well, let me tell you, Senator Scott had the audacity to admit he's been the victim of racism, of profiling, and often at the hands of liberal Democrats and the media. He actually pointed out how Democrats used the Jim Crow filibuster to actually stop his police reform bills last year. Oh, and he pointed out how the media refers to him with racial slurs and claims that his family, which grew up as slaves on cotton fields, just they weren't impressed enough. They were not oppressed enough. Oh, he also talked about how Democrats are pushing critical race theory on children, actually telling them that they are bad and evil by no fault of their own, just the color of their skin. Oh, and then he doubled down. He doubled down and said, even with all those examples of disgusting racism, he doesn't believe our country is inherently racist. And then he quoted scripture and prayed a blessing over America. I mean, the horror, right?
Where was I supposed to be offended within that remark?
Well, Joy Reid, Van Jones, Martha Raddatch, and Rachel Maddow truly were horrified, and they let their racist, bigoted flags fly loud and proud after his speech. Now, I totally get why Andrea Mitchell praised Biden's speech for mentioning white supremacy. I totally get it now, because she actually saw it as a low-key shout-out to her and all of her coworkers.
I don't mean to laugh, okay, but that was funny.
Honestly, if the fake woke liberal racists at MSNBC couldn't find a way to compliment the speech, they could have at least called out that it was pretty much a blunder-free response from Scott, which we often don't really see with these things. Remember Bobby Jindal? Whoa, how about Waterboy Marco Rubio? That was a bad one. But my fave was I Sweat a Lot, Joe Kennedy. Oh, those are all good times. And Tim Scott is a freaking hero and should be one of your top choices for president in 2024. He is absolutely one of mine.
I'm all in.
Now, that was a pretty good rundown of everything that we saw in the last week, but it gets better. It gets so much better because you know how I love those ladies at The View. Oh, aren't they so charming and great and fabulous? Yeah, they certainly are. Well, Joy Behar, an older white woman, took her time on The View to basically white-splain to Tim Scott that, Tim, you just don't know what racism is. You're not aware what systemic racism is. Let this white lady, this privileged white lady, explain to you what racism is, Senator Tim Scott. Take a listen for yourself.
He does not seem to understand, and a lot of them don't seem to understand, the difference between a racist country and a systemic and systemic racism. They don't seem to get the difference. Yes, maybe it's not a racist country. Maybe Americans, the majority, are not racist. But we live in a country with systemic racism. We discussed it this week again already about housing and about education and all of the things that are important to people. And the fact that Tim Scott cannot acknowledge this is appalling. How can you go out there and say that when you just said 2 minutes ago that you were the object and the victim of discrimination?
So obviously Joy Behar just wanted to school Tim Scott, who is black, and said, you don't know what racism is. I mean, how can you say that? How can you ignore that we are racists? Yeah. Did you know that when Joe Biden was asked the question after that interview and when Kamala Harris was asked if we live in a racist nation, both of them said no? I mean, let's just listen to what Kamala had to say real quick.
I don't think America is a racist country.
So it's totally okay for Joe Biden to say we're not racist. It's totally okay for Kamala Harris to not say we're racist. But when Tim Scott says we're not a racist nation, we're going to call him an Uncle Tim. Joy Behar is going to white-splain to him with her white privilege what actual racism is. And Twitter's going to allow that to trend for 11 hours. That is fascinating, isn't it? I mean, really, if we ever need to show what white privilege is ever again, I think Joy Behar should be the poster child for it. And that segment really explains it perfectly. I am just disgusted and appalled at the way that people are behaving right now. And the fact that they are looking at this and saying that Tim Scott's the problem. Do you want to know who the problem is if we are truly systemically racist? If we are truly systemically racist, it might be the people who've made the laws in this country. Like, I don't know, Joe Biden, been serving for 48 years. Remember his 1994 crime bill? That single-handedly led to the mass incarceration of Black people. So was Joe Biden part of the problem? But now because it's 2021, he's kind of woke and just says, law and order, screw that. Screw everything. Everything's systemically racist and it's everybody else's fault, even though I've been the one making the laws for 48 years longer than I've been alive. Okay, sure. Absolutely love that. Do you know what else is really racist? Racist a-holes on Twitter who actually think they're journalists. I'm going to introduce you to someone. I have a picture of his Twitter profile, Spence. His name is Tariq Nasheed. There he is. He looks fine, right? Looks like an outstanding citizen, foundational Black American. But Tariq really, really crossed the line earlier this week because earlier this week, another individual was at a Holiday Inn and was really upset about something with his reservation, you know, being a total Karen, except he was a male and he was Black. But you know the type. And basically was very frustrated and called the poor guy at the desk an F word, which is a slur for people who are homosexual. Not a good word, right? A really not nasty, naughty, bad word. And this African-American man thought he was going to film all of it. And then our friend over there, Tariq, he decided to put it all over Twitter. You're going to watch this video right now. It's going to disturb you. It is very hard to watch. This man was obviously autistic, very troubled, and had just been called a homosexual slur that starts with the letter F. Watch what happens.
Are you on camera? So this is the type of people they have working here. Wow. You gotta be kidding me. Wow.
So that's what Tariq put up on Twitter. And he thought it was great because he was calling out the obvious racist who works at the Holiday Inn. Not for one minute did Tariq think maybe that kid's got some issues and some troubles. He does have autistic. He does have mental problems. He had just been called, he admits he is a homosexual. He had just been called the F word. If you heard closely, he said, you just ruined my life. You just ruined my day. He runs and cries because he can't handle the pressure of what's going on. And dude just films it. And Tariq over there, everybody who said, dude, that's wrong. That's someone with mental health issues. That's wrong. Do you know what he did? He called them a racist. He even called me a racist. Do we have that tweet? Oh, yeah. Michelle, please stop projecting your anti-Black racism. Oh, is that true? Oh, I see. See, this is the problem we're in right now in America. We're calling everything racist, even when it's not. Nothing we saw there had anything to do with racism. What we saw was a Black man at a hotel who was pissed about his reservation, use a homosexual slur to the poor desk agent, and got him so frazzled and upset that he started hitting himself and crying. And Tariq and the Black community want to say, see, that's racism. And anyone who thinks this is wrong is a racist too. What is that helping? I'll tell you what. More and more every single day, I believe we are systemically racist because we live in a country that right now wants to preach critical race theory to our kids and tell kids who are white or who are Asian or Hispanic that because of their color of their skin, they are inherently evil. So, you know, if you're inherently evil, you should just hate yourself because you're white. I thought that's the very definition of racism. When you take a race, you kind of ostracize it and say there's something wrong with that particular race. We want to get mad at Justin Bieber because he has dreads, because that's cultural appropriation, because no way should a white person ever like something from the black community. That's inappropriate. Yet it's totally okay for Rachel Dolezal, a white woman, to pretend she's black for years and even head up the NAACP. And everyone goes, no, that's totally okay and woke and allowed. Huh. I don't know about you, but I'm very confused as to what's racist, what's not racist, why Joy Behar gets to have white privilege and everyone applauds her for it. But Tim Scott, who has really been suffering from racism and bigotry all week, well, dude, he's the problem. Doesn't make any sense. Makes absolutely no sense at all. You know what else makes no sense? Rose McGowan. I'm a big fan of Rose McGowan. Rose McGowan went on Fox News this week and basically outed Democrats for being in a cult. And boy, did the Democrats get mad. Take a listen.
Well, as some of you know, as some of you don't know, if you've heard my name or read anything on me in the media, I grew up in a cult, and it was a very famous cult called Children of God, and it gave me a superpower. It gave me the ability to see the control and the propaganda machine, especially in the U.S., for what it is and how it harms people and how the left can harm people just as much as the right if they go very, very deep into it and ignore all other aspects of kind of reality in a way, and that you're serving a master that might not be serving you. And I always say I come in peace. I am not here to make people feel bad about their political choices, but I am here to say that you might be in a cult too if you don't know the signs. And I do believe Democrats most especially are in a deep cult that they really don't and know about and aren't really aware of. And I leave the Republicans alone more because I do respect people more that are like, this is what we are, this is what we're about, this is what we're against. Whereas I find the Democrats are really pretty much almost against all the same things. They're against changing the world for the better. And they're for keeping a system in place that is for so few people and benefits so few, but they masquerade as the helpers. We would do this. The world would be perfect if only those Republicans would get out of the way. Well, okay, you've got control. So now what? What are you going to do to make the world better?
They're not going to do anything to make the world better. I mean, she was spot on there. And the Democrats got so triggered. I mean, Keith Olbermann went to Twitter to just block her. And I'm just like, dang, how do I get blocked by Keith Olbermann? That's like a rite of passage. That's like a badge of honor. I mean, that is amazing right there. Because she was telling the truth. That's what Rose McGowan was doing. She was telling the truth. She basically told everybody, hey, you're in a cult. If you aren't thinking for yourself, you're letting some leader tell you what to believe and you just blatantly believe it. You're in a cult if you think the fact that the media calling out the head of BLM, spending millions of dollars on homes in fancy white neighborhoods is somehow wrong, but calling Tim Scott Uncle Tim is okay. Yeah, you be in a cult. You absolutely be in a cult. And she's right. People on the right are in a cult too, because there were people who thought that everything Donald Trump did was right. They just walked around like, Donald Trump can't do no wrong. He is God's gift. Guess what? When he was mocking people with mental disabilities, that was wrong. You can still like him. You can still support him, but that was actually wrong. On January 6th, when he gave his speech and he kind of refused to kind of calm everybody down, let me tell you, that was wrong. Donald Trump can do things that are wrong, and you should be able to call out what leaders do are wrong or right. That doesn't make you any less of a Republican. It doesn't make you a freaking rhino. It doesn't make you anything. It means that you are a person who has thoughts for yourself and you can speak and you're not part of the cult drinking the Kool-Aid. But most Democrats today are drinking the Kool-Aid. Most Republicans today are drinking the Kool-Aid because no one ever wants to call out the truth. And here's the truth of where we are in society today. We've got the Democrats who basically love COVID. I mean, they love it. They're like, COVID is the best. Yes, let's wear masks. Let's have fear. Let's pass trillions of dollars of packages. Let's raise taxes. Let's do everything we can right now to have total and utter control. And see, they know a pushback is coming, and the Democrats are just so smart that they're like, dang, let's get ready for this pushback because people are going to be mad. So let's load up the Senate and make DC a state. Let's pack the Supreme Court so that everything we want to do that's unconstitutional will not be overturned. And that way in 2022 or 2024, when people are like, dude, I've had enough, all our cities are burning, listen, we're not all racist, stop it, we've got 3 million people here from Guatemala and we have no way to take care of them, when people finally go, this is awful, we need to push back, they will have created a system where you can't push back because they've rigged it and they've taken all the power for themselves. This is exactly what's happening before your very eyes. This is why you wear a mask, even though you totally don't have to. This is why everything's happening. This is why. Oh, and what else is why? Oh, the fact that like most people are just like, they care about the most dumb, inane things. Like Elon Musk is going to be on SNL and some SNL members are super mad about it. Okay, so that's going to be like something we're going to talk about on the news for 2 or 3 days. Cool. I might actually watch Saturday Night Live. I don't know, but those two cast members, whoever the heck they are, because honestly, does anyone remember what anybody on Saturday Night Live anymore? No, because it sucked for years. They're pissed. Oh, Crimea River. And we also glorify idiots. Remember that show 19 Kids and Counting on TLC? Remember, like, when I tell people that I'm Pentecostal, they immediately go like, girl, but you wear makeup and stuff. And you don't act like those freak shows. That's right, because not all Pentecostals are freaking idiots. Like that team of family right there. And why do I call them idiots? Because, well, let's see, the oldest Duggar, you know, the one who, got married at 17, has a wife, totally cheated on her with that Madison whatever website because he's a dirty dog. Yeah, he was arrested by the feds yesterday. So, yeah, totally quality guy. I mean, we should probably sign him up to run for office in Arkansas as a Republican by now, right? Right? You think I'm joking, but he'd probably be better than Asa Hutchinson, but I still can't support him. Okay. We've got Jeff Hartman on the show. He is coming up next right after this quick commercial break. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Week on State of the State, Nevada politicians are promising to transform everything from police to prisons. But do they have the answers for real change? See no changes.
All
I see is
racist faces. All these various bills we have on police reform, I believe many of them are not necessary. We are already doing that.
Plus, the power panel debates systemic racism.
Like, you can't hide from it now because it's being recorded.
And the roles influencers are playing in the debate.
LeBron James is an idiot.
From LeBron to the squad, are they helping or hurting?
We have to be very careful because they begin to control the narrative. And I think that's what is part of the challenges.
And April is Second Chances Month. We take a closer look at the number one prison reform organization in America that calls Silver State home.
We begin to build those relationships up with them prior to them getting released.
Catch State of the State this Friday or watch on demand only on Grab It TV.
Let's go surprise her. Happy Mother's Day!
Oh my gosh!
My mom deserves the best, and the best gifts are from
Harry and David.
Harry and David makes gift giving easy.
Yep.
I love all of the delicious treats.
Chocolate.
Yummy!
Cheese.
Gouda.
Wine.
The wine is for me.
And they're always so special.
So are you.
Aww.
That's right.
It's from Harry and David.
Yeah.
We can't wait.
Find the perfect gift for mom at harryanddavid.com.
Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so fake. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so fake.
How about this week's State of the State? Wasn't that a great commercial? Like, the music alone just made me, like, want to watch it. So you better watch it on Grab It TV. It's going to drop in a few hours. All right. It is time now for everyone's favorite guest in the whole wide world, Jeff Harmon. He is a friend of the show. He's one of the very first guests we ever had on this great show of ours. And he is an astrologer with a great deal of insight as to what's going on in the world and what's going on in the world of politics. And Jeff, it's always fantastic to have you here.
You're great. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, let's get right to it. I mean, what's going on right now?
Well, I think we know what's going on. You covered a little bit of what's going on there. Just I was watching for a while in the studio here. But I'd have to say what I see coming up here with the United States and the world at large is we're going to see a combination of the Twilight Zone and a lot of trouble coming up. Now, I hope I'm wrong about that, but I was looking at the United States chart. We have not had energies like this since the Civil War. Now, I'm not saying we're going to have a Civil War, but what I am saying is when I look at the United States Declaration of Independence chart, which many astrologers use, we clearly have some energies coming in that I think is going to be pretty bizarre. And we're seeing recounts right now. I think the global effort that was put forward to make happen what just happened with this election and other things and it's not just happening in the United States, it's happening all over the world. I'm talking to people in various different countries, Canada, Europe, Australia, Asia, Japan, and they're all saying the same thing. They're saying, wow, this COVID thing has really not only devastated the economy and many businesses, but also it has really put restrictions globally on everyone's freedom, particularly in the IT world and the social media. So what I'm seeing here in the United States, which seems to be the pillar that needs to come down for the New World Order in order to happen, we're going to see conflict going on here over the next 2 years that I think is going to be unprecedented. I think we could see an economic downturn this fall. There's what we call a Saturn square Uranus. And there's a series of eclipses coming up, particularly in May, at the end of May, into June, that I also find could really bring some unrest. It could be connected to the recount that we are seeing happening. There's great resistance to this happening. And of course, you know, I know Mike Lindell was just on Jimmy Kimmel for his bashing, if you will. And, you know, he made him out to be an idiot. But I think once some real legal and other, you could say, governmental powers that be start to see where this really went in that election, I think we're going to see a great deal of trouble. The problem is the resistance against this. I'm very concerned about, because the amount of resources that I heard were put into making this election go the way it went were enormous, not just in the United States, but globally. And it is very possible we're going to see even more resistance put against anything even having a remote possibility of reversing it. You see what I'm saying? So the astrology is showing that we are going to have unprecedented energies coming at us that haven't happened since the 1860s. And a lot of the things you're bringing up on your show about all this various different attacks on racism, et cetera, I think is going to become such a central issue. These are tools that are being used to implement more control. And if the astrology is right, and I believe it is, next year, between 2022 and 2023, we are about to see energies that this country has never seen. And I don't like to be alarmist. I'm a very positive person. But if it's correct, it's called a Pluto return. It hasn't never happened before in this country. So unlike the Civil War era, we are running into a transformation. See, Pluto rules transformation and destruction. And I know a lot of people laugh at Pluto. They go, well, it's been demeaned. It's not a planet anymore. So whatever we want to call it, the observations and the data are right on. For instance, here's a perfect example. I remember for years people were having me on radio shows. Jeff, what do you think of the Mayan calendar? And I said, not a single thing. I said, I can't come up with anything in 2012 that's going to have any precedent whatsoever. And guess what? Let me pinch myself. Yes, I'm still here. So, I mean, nothing happened. The world didn't add nothing. But look what happened. I was always warning about what? 2020. I said to people, watch out for 2020 forward. Why? We had a Pluto conjunct Saturn. Plain English, this is where transformation meets structure. Well, what happened? The pandemic, right? You can call it whatever you want, but the bottom line is it was exceedingly effective at altering the economic structures and the power structures of this globe in many, many different ways. And that's a matter of record. I said that for years. Everyone hammering away on all these different, you know, Jesus is coming, the end of the world's coming. And I said, it's not going to happen. Watch out for 2020. And it's exactly what happened. Now,
question though that I have is that it so much of what's happening though, again, my personal opinion is about the stupidity, almost sheep mentality of the Twitter twit generation, coupled with just an ever growing corruption and evil in this world. I mean, if we just look at the month of April alone, which is a pretty bad month. You know, on Good Friday, we had the Farrakhan extremist who killed a Capitol Hill police officer. We've had the Boulder City grocery store shooting. We had a grocery store shooting in New York. We had the FedEx shooting. We've had multiple cops who were shot. We've had multiple cops who have shot people. I mean, the amount of tragedy that we have seen in this month alone, but it's really due to more of people being stupid and people being ruled by evil. How does that translate into a planet thing, I guess, is what I'm kind of asking. Because it, to me, it's very clear. This is about evil and anarchy.
Well, I think planet, you know, when you look at astrology, it's just energy. A lot of people think it's predicting the future. It's just energy. But we are all responsible for our own actions, any way you cut this. And when you back it up, Michelle, nothing's new. I mean, if you look at the 1860s, you go back into the Middle Ages. I mean, that's where the French got the guillotines. I mean, nothing has changed when you look at human nature. Technology has certainly changed. Media has changed. The way we exchange information has definitely changed in our transportation. But if you look at the core elements of human nature, that's what we're dealing with here. I mean, there were people murdering each other all through the 1800s. I mean, politics actually got just as crazy as they're getting right now. The difference is it's being displayed in high definition and everyone has a platform. And what's interesting about our media, I think the media is really going to change. And this might all be a blessing in disguise. It's like a pendulum. It swings this way and swings that way. So right now we're witnessing, in my opinion, one of the most powerful transformations this country has ever seen. In fact, the United States will likely not be in the state it is, if the astrology is right, after 2022 and 2023. We might not recognize this country, or the positive could happen. And that is, we could end up getting back this republic and maintaining it and stop looking at what color everybody is and who has what belief they want to ram down each other's throats, and maybe start focusing on progress and getting forward. You know, this is, you know, definitely happened before. I just think this is a time, based on technologies and everything else that's happening in the world, that we're going to see transformations and clashes unlike we've never seen before. And this is what the astrology of the United States says. I mean, we have a Neptune square Mars, plain English, deception, coercion. That's stardust in your face, literally. And this is exactly what we've been seeing the last year. Any way you cut it, I mean, you can go into all the different details about Fauci and this and that, but bottom line is, it was exceedingly effective what this pandemic did. I'm not saying it's not real, but I'm also saying I think it was really conveniently overplayed in some areas. Now, a lot of people have lost people, and I totally sympathize with that, but you have to remember, COVID-19 has completely eliminated the common flu and the cold. Don't hear about it anymore. In fact, I know I have people, and this isn't me speaking, I'm talking to people who run hospitals, people who are CEOs of hospitals, people who are in really very high level medical positions, and they're telling me, well, you know, if you say grandma, you know, died instead of that heart attack, why don't we just put down COVID and your family will get an extra $1,500? Let's see. No, I don't want $1,500. Of course they'll say yes. So the financial motivations, and I've heard from people literally in structural positions in the medical industry saying, well, if you check that box that says ventilator, you get an extra $38,000. So the financial motivation from the top down, I'm not saying the pandemic isn't real, and a lot of people have lost people. But if we look back in history, I mean, look at how many people were lost in the 1917 pandemic. My God, it was millions. And I mean, they don't know, because the census data wasn't as accurate as it is today. They guesstimate somewhere between 50 and 100 million people. Now, that's a lot of people. I'm not demeaning this one, and I'm not saying it isn't real, but wow, what it's accomplished is stunning. Well this parallels...
Just real quick, were you basically saying that there are people in the medical field who have alleged to you that... there's kickbacks from insurance companies for saying they died from COVID?
Well, no, not insurance companies, from the top of the medical profession down. And I want to be careful what I say here, because I'm telling you what I was told. And this isn't by one person. This is by a diverse set of doctors, people who run hospitals, CEOs, et cetera, who have said the motivations financially to report things that weren't accurate were there. And it was all right here, the money. You just look at the money, right? So, and again, I know people who've died from COVID or have been very sick, but again, the success rate of contracting this disease versus even the amount of people that are having problems with the vaccine is kind of questionable. And again, this isn't my opinion. I'm not a doctor. I can't give medical, or anything like that. But I can tell you what real pros have told me, because I have them for clients, and this is really alarming. And again, let's take this up to 50,000 feet and look at what am I saying here. The chart for the United States, which is probably our biggest concern since most of us are Americans, but I would speak to the world as well, shows this next year, particularly starting at the end of this month into this summer. You know, what I like is Jupiter. Jupiter was always known as God's glory. Many people who practice Christianity will be familiar with the Lord's Prayer. The ending ends in, thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, the glory actually represents Jupiter and Venus, and the power is Mars and Saturn. So when you look at astrology, I know a lot of people roll their eyes at astrology. They think, well, how can the planets have any effect on us? I don't think they have any direct effect on us per se, as much as they have a direct influence on our free will. In other words, it's our reaction that is really the key. And I would say that these are energetic marker points, is probably a better way to put it, that I think we're all reacting to. We're in a new era, and I've been saying this for a long, long time, probably well over a decade, that we had a Jupiter-Saturn conjunction on the winter solstice of 2020, which was right before the beginning of this year, just this last December. So what does that mean in plain English? I think we're heading into a high-tech revolution unlike we've never seen. And I think some of the New World Orderers, if you want to call them that, or some of the people at the top of the pyramid, know this. And I think this is a communist's dream when you can track people on their phones. I mean, let's face it, 10, 15 years ago, or 20 years ago for sure, you could not even track people. You couldn't, the military could, but we certainly could. Now our iPhones, my God, I can see where my kid is all day long. I'm like, is he okay? You know, I'm on the iPhone going, well, there he is. There's this little blip, right? I can check on my wife, Camille, and make sure she's okay, which I'm always doing, because in modern society, things happen. But this is a double-edged sword. And this is the thing, this is just beginning. We're going to get like the Jetsons in the next 10 to 15 years. And no matter what happens economically, I think there's some really exciting opportunities to be made in technologies as we go forward. I think we're going to see transformations in our financial structure. That's right around the corner. And I think we could see some really powerful crashes that are brought back up again, like they always do. I call them the plunge protection machine in Wall Street, where they will keep raising it back up. This is a different world now than 1929 or, you know, World War One and World War Two. We are in a high-tech world where finances, technologies, transportation, the way we communicate, medicine, etc., is going to explode. And I think when people stand up and realize that human freedoms and human rights are critical in this high-tech, artificial intelligence world that we're entering into, I think that's what's going to make this turn out much more positive than we think. I just think this next couple of years is going to be literally a roller coaster ride getting there, and it never stops. But we're really, I think, in a place where a lot of people are energized. We've seen the power of propaganda. We just witnessed it with this last election. And I think if that's attempted to be reversed, and that's the astrology shows that is a possibility, there's going to be forces unleashed to counteract that could be very violent. And look for that sometime in May, June, and particularly this fall, July and August. As we get into next year, watch out. That's when I think things are going to really become unleashed in this country, where you're going to see a violent crash between people really opposing one another. And what I do get, and I want to kind of close with this on this particular subject, is I get it's going to be ultimately, even though it's going to be traumatic, like most things are. I mean, look at a woman having a baby. You've done that, right? So you've been to that barbecue. It's really traumatic. I mean, when my wife had her baby, I'm like, oh my God, you know, or our baby. I was like, this is really, you know, a dramatic event. And I think we're giving birth right now to a new era. And it's always dramatic. That's kind of what happened in the 1860s, where we were transitioning from the old world into the Industrial Revolution. And we were also, I think, transitioning this country, speaking of racism, into a much better place. And I think we're now transitioning into a very dangerous totalitarian technology world. And that's always going to be a threat, always. But I think we're going to see that backlash that you were just talking about before I came on the show, which I liked, by the way, where people are going to stand up. People are not going to take it. America is a different country. It wasn't built on a monarchy. It wasn't built through communism. It was built on capitalism, which is probably the most important thing. And secondly, free enterprise and freedom. And that's why it did what it did in the Civil War, went against slavery, and which I'm glad it did, because nobody should be incarcerated like that or treated like that. And I think now we're going to see a war between humanity's consciousness and spirituality and artificial intelligence and those people who control it, which are always ever changing, become a war, a new war. You see what I'm saying? It's a new war of slavery when you think about technology.
Well, I always like to say the best is yet to come, and I guess it still can, but we're going to have a pretty big battle on our hands here in the next couple of months. Always.
Life is a battle. We're all like salmon swimming up the stream, right?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Well, Jeff, keep swimming. That's it.
That's right. Jeff, it's awesome to have you back on the show. We hope to have you back again. Thanks so much for all of your insights. We appreciate you joining us here today.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome.
All right. See you next time. And to all of you at home, my top five, that's coming up next. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Me and my homies, we're tied in the club. We chop a lot of games. That's how we do it at the Players Club. Grab the pool, I'll kick it in the tub. Cause I keep my jazz at the Players Club. You can't resist it, but don't get it twisted.
Peyton, what are we doing here?
Brad, welcome to Peytonville.
What's this for?
Song inspiration. I started in my garage, but Nationwide protects so much, I had to expand. Nationwide helps protect everything you see in here, Brad. Every family, every business, every dream. See, Mrs. Hoffman, Nationwide protects her home and car, but also her dream of retiring to become a yoga instructor.
Oh, they have backstories.
Of course they do. Here, I got more to show you. Keep up now. We'll hustle.
Wondering if now is the time to buy or sell a home? Or is a market crash on the way? At Home, a real estate company, John Kennedy and his team will make sure you have all the information you need to make an informed decision. Home is where the heart is, and John Kennedy and his team are ready to lead you home. Give them a call today at 702-640-0101 or visit them at homerealestatecompany.com.
This is how you become the best.
Try to be best, cause you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you got a hand tough to make it. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around.
Don't get mad, get E-Trade, and take charge of your finances today.
Little Stone Temple Pilots, little Rappin' Forte before that, a little Biggie before. It's like a collision of all the songs of my youth kind of coming together. I was at that time in the East Bay of California where it was like still hip hop and still grunge, and they kind of fought together. All right, you know what time it is? It's time for my top five of things that I found interesting, funny, humorous, or whatever this week. And I'm sure by now you have seen the cop who was on TikTok and became kind of TikTok famous with his, hey, should I call LeBron and see what I should do? If you haven't seen it, I have it for you right now as number five.
I haven't seen it, that disturbance call. Can you have LeBron call my cell phone right away, please? Thank you. Sir, excuse me. Can you put the knife down, please? Sir, no, sir. Don't stab him. 1 second. LeBron. Hey, yeah, it's me again. Listen, I got two guys fighting over here, and one of them's got a knife. He wants to stab the other guy. What do you think I should do? Why does it matter what the race is? All right, well, they're both black. Okay, but he's trying to stab the other guy. Deadly force is totally justified. Uh-huh. I see. Okay. Okay, so you don't care if a black person kills another black person, but you do care if a white cop kills a black person, even if he's doing it to save the life of another black person? I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense, but then again, you are really good at basketball, so I guess I'll take your word for it. All right, okay, thanks, LBJ. All right, yeah, Michael Jordan's the GOAT. What? Nothing, I gotta go. Hey guys, sorry, you're on your own. Good luck.
I mean, humor is yes, but somewhat of where we are right now in the world. We're going to actually be talking about that particular video on this week's State of the State, which is dropping soon. So be sure to watch that on demand. All right. Number four is for all my church peeps. It's just kind of funny. And that means it's slightly inappropriate. Grandma dropping the F word about Satan in church. That's hilarious. If you found that offensive, I'm sorry. That was funny. It was just funny. And we do hate Satan. Don't we? Yes. All right. I've been trying to diet now for like, I don't know, all year. None of it's working. And that's why video number three really kind of spoke to me. Oh, yes. It's so hard to diet, isn't it? Oh, my God. It's the absolute worst. And you have the best of intentions every morning. Like, I'm going to do it today. I'm going to work out. I'm not going to eat any carbs. And then, you know, you get invited to a birthday party. It sucks. This mom TikTok really got to me. I thought it was very funny. Watch this one.
If a stranger came up to you and said, I'm your mom's friend and she sent me to pick you up, what would you say?
You're a liar because my mom doesn't have any friends.
Yes! Yes, 110%. That's hilarious. My kids would honestly say that. I'm pretty sure, which just begs the point again. Like I said last week, you know, like I need a friend and I found this person on TikTok who I thought was hilarious. And I was like, I would totally be friends with this person. And you didn't really get to experience the video. So it's a repeat and you get to experience for real right now with us. And let's all just sing the Golden Girls theme song together as we watch, shall we?
Thank you for being a friend.
Oh, yeah.
started from the bottom, now we're here, girl. Oh, yeah. This is my butt right here. Ooh, oh, if I did it, I'd be
I love it. And I genuinely want to be friends with him. And if you sing like that and watch the Golden Girls, we could probably be friends too. So drop me an email or something. And yeah, you know, I won't respond, but you know, it's fun to think. All right. Some little updates here. You already know State of the State's happening later today on Grab It TV. Also later today, I'm going to be on Dr. Gina Loudon's show. It's on a network called like Real American or something. I'm going to be on that show today talking about the Tim Scott response and Joy Behar. So definitely look for that. As I am every week, I am on Beyond the Headlines with Karen Turk. You can listen to that on the iHeartRadio app or on wherever you stream Beyond the Headlines. We're talking about Justin Bieber's dreads, how Iran was named to by the UN to fight for women's rights, which is absolutely insane, and so much more. So check out all those appearances this week. And as you know, I always do a closing song. And this week, I'm ending with a tribute to Shock G of Digital Underground. When I was a kid, when we were all kids living in the East Bay, going to our little private school, we loved all of our gangster rap music. We loved Digital Underground. We thought the Humpty Dance was awesome. Obviously, we didn't really know what it was about, but that's okay. But it was a super cool song. Dude was only like 52, 53 years old, something like that. And he died, which is so, so sad. And he was one of the guys who helped discover Tupac, which was awesome. Hence why I've had so much rap in today's show and in the State of the State commercial. I've just been like reliving all the good music because today's music is emo and ridiculous. And I just can't take it unless it's Justin Bieber. All right. So let's listen to some Humpty Dance and I will see you next time. Know what you need to know this week on Monday because I've got an appointment that's a conflict, but I'll see you for the rest of the week. Till next time, enjoy some Humpty Dance.
Stop what you're doing, cause I'm about to ruin the image and the style that you're used to. I look funny, but yo, I'm making money, see? So yo, world, I hope you're ready for me. Now gather round, I'm the new fool in town, and my sound's laid down by the underground. I drink a bottle of Hennessy you got on your shelf, so just let me introduce myself. My name is Humpty, pronounced with the umpty. Yo, ladies, oh, how I like to funk thee. And all the rappers in the top 10, please allow me to bump thee. I'm stepping tall, y'all, and just like Humpty Dumpty, you're gonna fall when the stereos pump me. I like to rhyme, I like my beats funky, I'm spunky. I like my oatmeal lumpy, I'm sick with this. Straight gangster Mac, but sometimes I get ridiculous. I'll eat up all your crackers and your licorice. Oh, yo, fat girl, come here, are you ticklish? Yeah, I called you fat, look at me, I'm skinny. It never stopped me from getting busy, I'm a freak. I like the girls with the boom, I once got busy in a bathroom, I'm crazy. Allow me to amaze thee. They say I'm ugly, but it just don't faze me. I'm still getting in the beep, and I even got my own dance.
The Humpty Dance is your chance to do the hump.
Come on,
do me, baby.
I'll do the Humpty Hump. Come on, I'll do the Humpty Hump. Check me out, y'all. I do the Humpty Hump. Just watch me do the Humpty Hump. Yeah. Do you know what I'm doing? Doing the Humpty Hump.
Do the Humpty Hump, do the Humpty Hump.
People say you're